to a new episode of the SLUC Consultant Podcast. My name is Emmerich, and today I'm happy to share a conversation with Pablo Gonzalez, a lead Salesforce engineer and creator of HappySoup.io, which is a free, open-source impact analysis tool for Salesforce. Along with this interview, we've also recorded a demo session of HappySoup on how Salesforce users can actually use the tool and also list some of the benefits. The demo session can be found on the SFDC Consultant YouTube channel. The link will be in the description and on the sfdcconsultant.com website. Now, please enjoy my conversation with Pablo.
Hi, my name is Pablo. I'm from Costa Rica in Central America, but I'm actually in Ireland right now. I've been here for 6 years. I've been in the Salesforce ecosystem for 10 years, or actually it's 9 and 10 months. It's going to be 10 years in January. And I've done a little bit of everything in the Salesforce ecosystem. I worked in Salesforce, like the actual company, for 5 years. And while I was there, I did tier one, tier two, tier three support. So I've been through all the levels of Salesforce support, which means that I actually know Salesforce very well behind the scenes, which is a very sort of nice skill to have. And then after that, I moved to development, and I've done the development in consulting firms as well as in-house. And now my current role is I'm a lead engineer in the service cloud team at Guidewire. So we actually have a pretty big Salesforce implementation. We have around 5 different Scrum teams, and each Scrum team works in different product areas, and it's quite big. So we don't even know what some other teams are doing because of the amount of customization that we have. So anyway, I'm a lead engineer in the service cloud team. So we work with communities, knowledge. It's actually your typical service cloud implementation.
The first thing that I want to touch upon is, and it's probably not related to your current role, but you said you've worked for Salesforce for about 5 years. Now, that's pretty important. Like you said, it's a skill that if you have as a member or as a person working with Salesforce, the fact that you worked at Salesforce and knowing the ins and outs of that, I think that's pretty important. And my question to you, because I spoke with other people that have worked or are currently working at Salesforce, and my biggest question for that, people always seem to know everything, especially like the solution engineers. When you have them on a call, they just have the best solution for you, or they're going to go and pick up something. But in terms of the support, I've had an issue a while ago with a package. For some particular reason, it wasn't deploying a managed package. If you were to explain, how does Salesforce look behind the scenes? What was your experience there in terms of trying to be taught and try to understand Salesforce, and what was the solution finding process?
So it really depends on the role you're in. So for example, if you're actually like in tier one, tier two support, you don't get much training or knowledge on how Salesforce works behind the scenes, because a lot of the cases that we used to get were just stuff that was documented that people just didn't know, like, oh, why didn't this workflow trigger? But, you know, then when you read the documentation, it says that it doesn't trigger, the criteria is no longer met, or something like that, that, you know, people actually are not aware, but it's very well documented. So the tier one and tier two levels are more focused on really under knowing how to search in the public knowledge base for documented behaviors of the platform. So at that level, we wouldn't really understand, for example, how the workflow engine works behind the scenes, because it's totally relevant. It's just making sure that the customer is not or is aware of the behavior that is documented. So that's one thing. Now, if you are in tier three, then it is a bit different. And Salesforce is so big, right, that even internally, the teams are divided by different product areas. So like if you're a tier three, you could be a tier three for the configuration skill group, which is everything like workflows, validation rules, etc. Or you could be in the integration skill group, or you can be in the development skill group. So depending on which area you are, you will get a bit more training on how that area works behind the scenes. And that typically comes from the engineering team, and they put together some like maybe monthly presentations on how to debug this thing or how to get logs for workflow rules or things like that. So you get a lot of training, and the higher you go, the more in-depth training you get. The last team that I was on was actually mission critical support, which is almost like a tier four. And that's like the highest level of Salesforce support that is only for huge customers. That one was really hardcore. Like we used to get a lot of training on how the database works behind the scenes, how the Oracle queries, how does a SQL query translate to an actual Oracle query behind the scenes? And how does the, how does the load balancer transfer requests from the web server to the app server? Like it was a highly technical thing that it almost looks like you're not working in Salesforce anymore. You're just working in some web app. And then every now and then you remember, oh, actually, this is Salesforce for the people that are using it on the outside.
You've worked in Salesforce for about 5 years. You went through that. And then you decided to make a career change.
When I left Salesforce, the company, I actually moved to Marketo, which has nothing to do with Salesforce. And the role that I had there was as well tier three support. So like my first 6 years of career, I was actually a tech support guy. Mm-hmm. Now tech support doesn't mean like help desk. Like, so it was high level, I guess you could say high end tech support because it was very technical, very complicated. But I moved to Marketo and I did tier three support there as well. Now you think, why? Why would you leave Salesforce after 5 years and go to Marketo? The only reason was that at the time where I was there, after my 5 years in Salesforce, I felt like I just knew Salesforce. And I know this thing that we'll talk about later because I've had this feeling multiple times throughout my career. Mm. But that was the first time that I had that feeling that I just don't know anything else. I'm just a Salesforce guy. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a Salesforce guy. Obviously, it's a very profitable career and it's very nice. But at the time, I don't know, I just felt like I need to learn something more. And Marketo was actually a good opportunity because they had a connection with Salesforce. Part of their product was a huge integration with Salesforce. So I thought I'm not leaving Salesforce completely. I'll still be somehow involved with that, but I'll get to see how another application works behind the scenes. And the nice thing was that Marketo's tier three support was way more technical than Salesforce because Marketo was a smaller company. So we didn't have this hierarchy of levels. Tier three was almost like engineering. And so you had a lot of access to a lot of different logs and databases and things like that. And what happened is that I learned so much at Marketo about software and system architecture that I thought, actually, with this newfound knowledge, I would be a better Salesforce developer now because now I understand things from a different point of view. And I thought, maybe now I can go back to being a Salesforce guy, but I'll be happy that I understand things better, not just what Salesforce puts out there on Trailhead or in the documentation. I have a general foundation of how software works. And so when I made the decision, I went back to Salesforce and I joined a consultancy, Appirium, as a tech lead. So I was actually never a consultant, like a functional consultant. In a period, I was a tech lead, which meant that I was managing a team of developers for different projects. And so yeah, that's how I ended up. And then actually just one more thing is that I hadn't actually done pure development even at that point, because if you see the past, right, I was in Salesforce support and I was in Marketo support, very highly technical roles, but I was not a 100% developer. And then in Appirio, I was also a tech lead, which meant that I was managing a team of developers, but I wasn't doing hands-on development all the time. So it was only after Appirio that I joined another company where I was finally a 100% hands-on developer. And honestly, I felt that by the time I got there, I had learned so much of so many other things that it was the perfect time to be a developer. I felt like if I had been a developer way before that, just my view of how software works would have been completely different.
You've been a developer, you've reached that developer goal. How did you get to build HappySoup?
Yeah, it's almost like it's happening all over again. Maybe it'll happen again in 5 years. That I think I'm going to be very transparent. I think when you start trying to learn things outside of the Salesforce platform, at least my experience has been that I tend to actually get a lot of imposter syndrome when I start doing that. Because say, for example, somebody puts, Salesforce releases some article or some blog about, I don't know, unit testing, for example. And then I decided, okay, let me do a bit more research on unit testing outside of Salesforce, because Salesforce has like a watered down version of that. So let me understand how it works. And you start Googling or you start watching YouTube videos and you go on this rabbit hole where you realize that it's a whole world and there are people doing these amazing things with unit testing and this highly technical stuff. And personally, sometimes when I start getting into that mood, I start feeling like, these people are doing all this really cool stuff and very highly technical things, very complicated, and I'm not. Now, I know that's a very naive feeling, because in the end, all applications need to deliver some value, right? So code doesn't live in a vacuum. Engineering doesn't live in a vacuum. You could be doing an amazing engineering, but if nobody's going to use your product, then it doesn't deliver any value whatsoever, right? So I get that. But still, my brain is like, you don't know any of these things. And look at all these cool kids who know all these things. And I think in general, in the software industry, imposter syndrome is actually very common. You see a talk or you go to an event and you see people talking about these things and you feel like, oh my God, I don't know any of these things. Anyway, so sometimes I get that feeling, to be honest. And about a year ago, that started to boil a bit more. And I felt like I'm a Salesforce developer finally, but I don't know how to build anything else outside of the Salesforce platform. And you also start seeing every now and then people come up with apps on the App Exchange or maybe Chrome extensions that do really cool things. And these are things developed outside of Salesforce, right? They're developing different technologies. So I started seeing that there are people that are actually experts in Salesforce, but there are also experts in other technologies. And how valuable must that be, right? For yourself and for the companies that you work for. So I decided that I want to be that. I want to be able to do the same. I want to be able to put something, some idea together in a different technology, completely different infrastructure, and make it work. And so I decided that I was going to build an app. I didn't know at the time what it was going to be, but I thought I'm going to build something for the Salesforce community. And I'm going to try to build it completely outside of Salesforce so that I'm forced to learn a completely different set of technologies. So I did a lot of online training on, you know, full stack development in JavaScript and Node.js. And one thing led to another. And eventually I came up with the idea of having a better application to see, having an application to see where your metadata is used and what happens if you change a field, or what is the metadata that uses your opportunity object? Like if you want to do an analysis or assessment of what's my opportunity functionality or metadata, there has to be something that I can build to do that. And yeah, eventually I came up with the idea and I started building it as I was doing my training and online courses for full stack development. And that's how I ended up creating Happy Soup.
Last thing from my side, in case you want to point people to the website, to the product, what's your, I guess, short-term vision for that? And then we can probably get onto a demo of the system.
So the vision for Happy Soup, the website is very simple. It's happysoup.io. The vision is very simple. Impact analysis is actually a very common thing in the Salesforce ecosystem. And we have to do impact analysis almost in every requirement that you get. There's always some impact, that you're not building a brand new thing all the time. You're changing something. And that change might be something very, you know, very small. Maybe you're just changing a pick list value or adding a new field or something like that. But because most orgs have a lot of customization already built on top of them, you actually need to be able to understand what is the impact of what I'm changing. And in very complex orgs, even small things can have a huge impact in ways that you would never imagine. And I've seen that in many companies where you change a pick list value and suddenly 100 things are broken. So the idea of Happy Soup is that since impact analysis is such a, I guess, common thing that every Salesforce org should be able to do, then Happy Soup presents it, I guess, for free in the sense that you're going to have to do it anyway, but it's not something that you do every single day. It's something that maybe you need once every 3 months or once every 6 months. And when you do need it, it's probably a 15-minute thing where you check, okay, these are the things that will be impacted. You do your analysis, move on to the next requirement. It's not something that you'll be there using all the time. So for that reason, I thought that this should be free, right? Because it's something that adds some value, but it's not something that personally I would pay for, to be honest. Even I wouldn't pay for Happy Soup itself. So that's the vision. It's sort of impact analysis for everyone. And for medium and small size orgs, I think it works pretty well. For larger orgs, huge companies, of course, they need a much more robust and probably integrated solution because Happy Soup is pretty ad hoc. It's more like, okay, let me log in. Let me see where this field is used. Log out. It doesn't integrate in your, you know, general workflow for gathering requirements or deploying to production. It's very ad hoc. So I think, I guess the target is small to medium sized companies that may need to do impact analysis every now and then.
Thank you for listening to the SFDC Consultant podcast. Be sure to visit sfdcconsultant.com to access the show notes and discover additional content. If you enjoy the podcast, it would be amazing if you could subscribe, give us a review, and share it with your peers. Until next time, take care.